Good morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning. I am so honored to be here today.
Let's talk about the bill and kind of the backstory. Now, this bill would expand eligibility to families of individuals who were killed on their way to or from work. I was surprised to know this was not already the case.
It is surprising. I was surprised myself. So 2.5 years ago when this terrible, tragic incident happened in Headingham, October 13, 2022. I think all of us who lived here in Raleigh will never forget where we were when we got the news. And I learned the very next day, learning about the victims and learned that Officer Torres had been killed. I did not know him and I did not know his family at the time. I've since met them. But I learned that this terrible thing had happened. I learned that in that moment that Officer Torres was not going to be considered in line of duty, having fallen in the line of duty, and therefore his family was not going to be eligible for the benefits mm-hmm. that came along with that. And there's a small monetary benefit to the family. It's not a huge amount of money, but it makes a huge difference, especially Officer Torres has a young daughter, and, that can be part of her college fund that can support that family with funeral costs and, anything that needs to happen there. And more importantly, have that honor of being fallen in the line of duty. And so when I learned that, I started I called Police Benevolent Association and I said, help me understand. Current law is that if you are responding to an active incident or you are on your way to training, not work, on your way to training, and you are killed in a traffic accident, a shooting incident, any incident, if you are killed, you are considered fallen in the line of duty. But that does not extend to officers and all first responders, in fact, who are on their way to work. And, of course, number one, we know anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And that's number one. And number two, our first responders are never off duty. This notion that somehow they get to, put their badge down and not respond to incidents and they're never off duty. And so this bill really provides families that coverage that they need.
We should point out Officer Torres's family did get some of these benefits after a lot of your hard work and the work of some others, but this still didn't extend to anybody else outside of a certain time period.
That's exactly right. So what we worked on this bill 2 years ago, and as I mentioned, I didn't know his family at the time, and I was working on the bill. I was working with law enforcement on the language and working with bill drafting, and I really wanted to honor Officer Torres, and I wanted to name this bill for him. And so I asked RPD to help me get in touch with the family, and his wife was so grateful. So she had been in the process of trying to petition to get him considered fallen in the line of duty. It was a very laborious process because he was not covered under the existing law. And she said to me, "I have been praying to find a way to change this in law so that this doesn't happen to any other families, and I didn't know how to do it." And so it just, how moving to hear from her and hear how important this was to her. So we worked on the bill and in the same form that it is now, and we were able to move it. But unfortunately, in the negotiations that happened down on Jones Street and the back and forth, the language got pared down to only apply to officers who were killed by firearm on their way to work between October 12th, 2022 and October 31st, 2022. So I am so grateful that this applied to Officer Torres. I'm so grateful that he is now considered fallen in the line of duty and has that honor bestowed upon him. And because, our law enforcement officers, our firefighters, our EMS, our first responders, they run into harm mm-hmm. when all of us are running away. And that's exactly what Officer Torres was doing when he got in his car, started to be on his way to work, heard shots in the neighborhood, got out of his vehicle to see what was going on and was shot and killed that day. And so I'm glad we got that done for Officer Torres, but no family should have to go through what Jasmine, his wife, and his young daughter, Layla, had to go through.
The bill this year, are there any differences to the one that you filed 2 years ago that could hopefully get it through the Senate?
I am hopeful that the Senate will understand what we're trying to mm-hmm. do here. I think, you know, we missed an opportunity last year to do some education. I think a lot of people don't know what current law is. I myself didn't know what it was until we found ourselves in this tragic situation. And so, you know, my goal here is to get it through the House. I think we've done a good job with House members and helping everybody understand it. It flew through the House with no problem 2 years ago. But I think, you know, my goal is to really sit down with our Senate colleagues and help them understand how we need to make sure that whether you're on your way to training or on your way to work, you have coverage under the law.
What have you heard from law enforcement or first responders about this bill this time around?
So I have heard no opposition. And in fact, in committee the other day, the Firefighters Association was present and one of the chiefs stood up and spoke in support of this bill. I've been in conversation with Police Benevolent Association. They fully support the bill. 2 years ago when we did this, the Sheriff's Association supported this bill, actually came out and endorsed the bill, which is rare for them to do kind of mid-session. Mm-hmm. They kind of pick their priorities and power through. And so I'm really proud of the support that we've been able to get for this bill and just consider it an immense privilege and responsibility to be able to carry Officer Torres' name, and just so grateful to the family for allowing me to do that.
A couple thoughts before we wrap up here. The budget is obviously going on now. How do you make sure this gets into the budget and doesn't get excluded as we have those negotiations moving forward?
That's such a great point. The budget process is happening. It starts in the Senate this year, so it's over there. But my plan is, you know, we have multiple ways to try to get this ball down the field. And we're going to work on this standalone bill. I have no doubt we'll get it through the House, but I'll be working to make sure that it's included in the budget as well. There is a small appropriation. I think the appropriation in it is about $300,000, which in the grand scheme mm-hmm. of the state budget just isn't a lot of money, but provides a great deal of comfort for families who are impacted.
And changing gears to let you go, the State of the State was earlier this week. Curious what you made of what the governor had to say.
I thought Governor Stein did a great job. In fact, I think I got my cardio workout standing up and clapping, standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down. You know, what I loved about Governor Stein's message is that, you know, he has worked very hard coming out of the state Senate, and, you know, not all that long ago. He has great relationships, great bipartisan relationships. And I was really pleased to hear him talk about some of the most pressing issues for North Carolina, including our continued efforts on Hurricane Helene recovery. We have a lot of that we need to do on early childhood education. He just announced a task force. He did talk about that in his State of the State. But I saw a lot of bipartisan support in the chamber on Wednesday night. In fact, I was talking with some of my Republican colleagues, and I said, you know, it was great that we could all stand mm-hmm. up and really clap for some of these things. It wasn't all 100%, I will say that. But I think, you know, this shows that in times of great need for the most pressing priorities and the most pressing populations in our state, there are opportunities to come together.
I think all North Carolinians appreciate that, too. Wake County Representative Sarah Crawford, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.